City, originally named the Star Theater, the Gym Theater was built in 1912 by the Shriner and Powelson Amusement Company as a silent movie palace, serving Kansas City's African-American population on the east side of the city in what is now the historic 18th and Vine Jazz District. This is Central Standard. I'm Javelani LaFall. This year, that same theater, the Gym Theater, arguably one of the best venues for live music and performances in Kansas City proper, turns 100. That's right, the Gym Theater is a century old this year. Kansas City, what are your earliest memories of the Gym Theater in the 18th and Vine District? What types of concerts or performances have you seen there over the years? And what would you like to see staged at the gym that you haven't seen yet? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us via Facebook or on Twitter, where our handle is at KCURCST. And of course, there's Central Standard at KCUR.org, where you can contribute to the conversation via email. And joining us now is Queen Bey, a local jazz and blues legend, also known as the ambassador of jazz for the city of Kansas City and the rest of the nation and the world. In here looking beautiful. Welcome to the show, Queen Bey.
Thank you.
Good morning. All right. Also with us is Pat Jordan, CEO and executive director of the Gym Cultural and Education Center Incorporated, who's going to talk with us about the Gym Theater's history and nonprofit profile and how that's developed over the years. But first of all, let's get back to Queen Bey. Tell us how you got your name.
I was born in Islamic religion, and they gave all the kids, you know, Islamic names.
That's a Moorish name, right?
Uh-huh, Moorish.
Bey. Yeah.
Uh-huh, and that's how I came about getting Queen Bey.
Well, now that that's settled, how did you get into blues and jazz?
Just listening to KPRS when I was a kid. And Norman Grant's Jazz at the Philharmonic came on every afternoon at 12. So that was the jazz scene. Then we had a DJ that would come on later on in the afternoon with rhythm and blues. And that was the other scene. So I began writing songs, listening to all the great artists, you know, which really gave me a lot of comfort and confidence.
What attracted you to the jazz and blues?
I guess being born and raised here. And when I was a little kid, my parents used to ride around over on 18th and Vine because that's when it was hip and hot. They had hucksters out selling shrimp and crawdads and popcorn, and you could hear the jazz coming out of the clubs. You could smell the beer and the sweat from the people that had danced the night before. It had a wonderful ambiance.
You're talking about last weekend, Queen Bey. Moving on to the Gym Theater. What were some of your earliest memories of performances at the Gym Theater? We're celebrating the 100th anniversary this year.
They had a lot of high-powered people coming in, big bands and singers and acts. And the gym was all we had because it was segregated. And we knew what was happening. 18th and Vine, the Gym Theater was it for us. We couldn't go any further. That was where we were supposed to be, not uptown at all.
Do you remember any particular performances that strike you, that you remember to this day, that you saw at the gym? Jazz legends?
A lot of times I would be at the Memorial Hall where the big, big acts came, like Louis Jordan. And see, I was young, but I had gone beyond my time. 18th and Vine had Jay McShann and all those local people. But half of the time I was moving on further ahead to the Municipal Auditorium where the big people coming in from out of town. I don't know how I did that. I was so young, but I guess I had that inner thing about me wanting to be a performer. And that's how I got all my energy.
Must be that queen.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's bring in Pat Jordan. No relation to Louis Jordan, by the way, Pat.
None whatsoever, unfortunately.
What are your earliest memories of the Gym Theater?
Well, because when I first started really frequenting 18th and Vine, it really was in, I had graduated from high school and was in college. And that was in the late 60s. And by that time, 18th and Vine was on its way to, as it were, going out of business. And so my earliest memories are of the theater being closed and driving past the theater time and time again and saying to myself, you know, someone really needs to do something with that.
Yes, Queen Bey mentioned earlier that during the days of segregation, the Jim Theater on the east side of Troost in the segregated neighborhood was all they had. But after public accommodation of the mid-1960s, the unintended consequences was a sort of blight of the black community and loss of sort of economic empowerment, which sort of led to 18th and Vine becoming closed down and dilapidated for that era.
That's right. I mean, a lot of people, of course, began to move south. In the early days, 27th Street was as far south as African Americans could live. And in fact, when my parents first came to Kansas City, they received threats because they wanted to move in that area and beyond that area. However, with the passage of the Civil Rights Act and other public accommodations laws, folks, of course, did migrate south and have continued to migrate south, quite frankly. But that, of course, has led to and is continuing to lead to the deterioration of the urban core.
Tell us what got the wheels moving, as it were, on the revitalization of the Jim Theater.
Well, actually, you know, the whole idea rather started with Horace Peterson. Horace was, as many know,
the founder of the Black Archives.
Founder of the Black Archives. And so I would visit Horace when he was at 2033 Vine in the old Black Fire Station. And he would talk about what his dreams were for the Black Archives and actually the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and at that time the International Jazz Hall of Fame. And it really, his conversations really fed into my vision of revitalization. And one day as I was talking to the head of the Black Economic Union about my vision for the Jim Theater, he said, well, why don't you come by my office this Saturday and we'll talk about it. I ended up talking with him for about 4 hours. And at the end of the conversation, he said, you know, I'd like for you to take this on.
And what did you say to that?
Innocently and naively, yes. Yes, of course, because I really had, I'm a dreamer and I like to encourage young folk to dream. And if you're going to encourage young folk to dream, then you've got to be a dream maker. And so I vowed that whatever it took, we were going to be able to realize the dream of a new Jim Theater at 18th and Vine.
Tell us about the theater's status as a nonprofit and what the advantages and disadvantages of having that status might be.
The theater itself, as well as the Negro Leagues Museum and the American Jazz Museum, in order for us to finance it, then-Mayor Emanuel Cleaver arranged for city bond funds. It was really difficult for us to find a developer to come east of Troost, and it still is very difficult to find private investors to come east of Troost to develop. And so the only alternative was for those buildings to be built with city dollars, city-funded dollars. And so as a result of that, we were able to attract, because of our not-for-profit status, we were able to attract grants for operating, but not for the capital side, the building side, the bricks and mortar side of those buildings. And so city funds were used. To our advantage, however, we are still able to carry out the second part of our mission because of the not-for-profit, which is to support visual and performing artists.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. The Jim Theater in the 18th and Vine District is 100 years old as of this year, and we're talking past, present, and future with our guest today, Queen Bey, a local jazz and blues singer, also known as the Ambassador of Jazz for Kansas City and for the rest of the nation representing Kansas City. Also with us is Pat Jordan, who's talking about the Jim Theater's nonprofit profile, its renovations, and its plans for the future. Speaking of which, Kansas City, what are your earliest memories of the Jim Theater in the 18th and Vine District? What types of concerts or performances have you seen there? What would you like to see staged at the Jim Theater that hasn't been staged yet, at least not from your eyes? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at KCURCST. Of course, email is centralstandard@kcur.org. We're going to talk to Pat Jordan a little bit about the Jim Theater's revitalization. But first, we're going to go to Andre in KC Mo, who has some ideas about the Jim Theater. Welcome to Central Standard, Andre.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I think one of the things that would be unique in that area is there's an ongoing thing as far as in the black community, the multiplex art houses deals, where they would show a lot of black-based India films, kind of like in the American independent cinema mode. A few times I've been there, I've seen that, but I think really in that location there, that would be a real good thing, especially in that part of the community, to really get blacks to see films that are really based on them, kind of from the independent deal as far as being directed and starred, being directed by, produced, and starring black. And you know, just like in more real roles, when I mean real roles, I mean, of course we know blacks are portrayed in a lot of ways, but I guess you don't really see too much, and I didn't know this moving here, that you don't really see too much of the African-American community, more of the independent indie films based on everyday life. And with that, I'll take your comment off the air.
Thank you. Before you go, Andre, are you an actor or a director by chance?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking. Thank you, Andre, for your contribution to the conversation. Sean Edwards, the film critic over at Fox 4, had been doing some screenings at the Jim Theater from time to time there with I Love blackmovies.com and his ventures over there. But what do you think about these different sort of performance and venue and event proposals for the Jim Theater?
Great idea, Andre. And in fact, we have presented the Jim not-for-profit organization, which is separate now and apart from the operators of the facility. We did present a film series, a historical black film series, when I was actually over the theater facility. In addition to that, we did also present a premiere of a film, Ninth Street, in which Queen Bey starred, that was produced by Kevin Wilmot, and we premiered that at the theater as well. Since I am no longer in charge of the facility itself, we have now set up operations in that same black fire station at 2033 Vine, where Horace Peterson was. Again, continuing our mission of supporting visual and performing artists. And it is in that facility that we intend to showcase the works, both visual and performing, of African-American and other artists of color. Again, one of the things that we have to realize is that you have to take the time to establish relationships, and that's really key. You have to get to know artists, and you have to also work with them over a period of time, in addition to raising money to put on their performances or to premiere their movies or to showcase their work. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of energy.
Queen Bey. Kevin Wilmot's been a guest on this show, by the way, and I really want to see that movie. What do you think about the Jim Theater's ideas for new events? How do you feel about that?
I just say it's about time. It's long overdue. And there are so many other Kevin Wilmots out there. So much that could be done. And I'm looking forward to hearing and knowing that some changes will be made.
Part of getting the facts straight, Pat Jordan, is getting the facts straight about how the renovation was done in the first place. You took issue on the Visit KC website, which credited the former Kansas City mayors, Berkeley and Cleaver, as you mentioned, as spearheading the effort to revitalize and renovate the Jim Theater. And they had a role in it, a substantial role, I might add. But you commented on the website with the headline, "Who really spearheaded the gym's renovation?" And you want to read us to know that you spearheaded that effort.
That's right.
Why go public like that?
Well, you know, we historically, African-Americans, women and other folks of color we've been left out of the story. And I think it's really up to us to, and as one visual artist told me at one time, she said, "Pat, you need to speak loudly." And of course, she right. wasn't talking about the amplification. She was simply saying that amongst all the cacophony, you know, we must stand up and speak the truth. And so I just took the opportunity to make comment on the internet, which is a wonderful tool, I think, for disadvantaged folks to use, to talk about the truth.
And you told them twice.
Probably so.
Yes.
Probably so.
What is your biggest issue, Pat Jordan, with how the theater in the 18th and Vine District itself has been managed or marketed since the renovation? Not asking you to pick and choose and talk about names, but just the panoramic issues and challenges.
I think that the challenge is one that is also with and about all of the urban core. And that is that we need a lot of people involved in this effort. There are many of us who have devoted their lives or part of their life's work to revitalization of the urban core. But I've come to understand that we need assistance. And that is not always saying monetary assistance. We need to figure out how it is that we work together in our neighborhoods, and amongst the individual sort of groups that we have, as well as across geographic and racial and economic boundaries. We have got to figure this one out.
Getting back to the Gym Theater itself, Queen Bey, you performed inside the Gym Theater.
Yes.
What do you think of the acoustics of the Gym Theater? What do you think of it as a performer?
It could be better. You know, it could be much better. That was one of my thoughts coming in. That's the first thing I thought about was, wow, I hope that everything's okay with the acoustics, you know. But
what would you change?
You know, I guess it's because I've always appeared in much smaller environments where it's more intimate. You know, and even if the places were larger, the acoustics were okay for me. I guess a few times I wasn't too happy. But, you know, this performance, I'm just going to go with the flow and do whatever I have to do and everything will fall into place.
Well, speaking of going with the flow and speaking of more intimate surroundings, you got your water. You cleared your voice.
Ooh.
Do you think you could do a riff for us real quick?
Of course.
Go ahead. Queen Bey on Central Standard, live riff.
Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money, you know I really didn't care. I took my friends out for a real good old party time. Spending my money on bootleg liquor, champagne, and some good old wine. But as soon as my dough got low, I had no friends, I didn't have no place to go. But as soon as I get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna squeeze that sucker until the ego grins, because nobody needs you when you're down and out. In my pocket, not one penny, but my friends, you know I don't have any. But as soon as I get back up on my feet again, I'm gonna meet all my long-lost friends. Nobody needs you, without a doubt. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. Miss Bessie Smith.
Miss Bessie Smith. As interpreted by Queen Bey, a local jazz and blues singer, also known as the Ambassador of Jazz for the city of Kansas City. That's a freestyle. That's not recorded. That's not pre-recorded. That's not a button that I push. That's history for you. Queen Bey, we're talking about history in the making at the Gym Theater, the 100th anniversary being this year, 2012, founded in 1912 as a silent picture theater and various venues and various events after that and various controversies on what should actually happen there. What would you like to see staged, Pat Jordan, that hasn't been staged at the Gym Theater?
Well, I think that we need a black or African-American theatrical company. That's certainly on the list. I think we also need, as Andre had suggested, we do need to be able to show or raise money so that we can show more films there, independent films in particular. And we need to be able to market the entire 18th and Vine area. But again, in order to do that, we need some more dollars. We need more dollars.
We canvassed our listeners about what they'd like to see at the Gym Theater. Beth emailed in this suggestion to centralstandard@kcur.org. She says, I would think lectures and panels pertaining to all areas of life and learning would be a valuable use for this historic location. And also, we have Joe Louise Maddox. How you doing?
Good morning. I just want to commend Pat for the work that I know she did to get the Gym Theater revived and preserved as one of the landmarks in the black community. I know Pat. I was there when she was doing some of these things. And, Pat, just keep up the good work of helping preserve and make famous our community.
Oh, Joe Louis Maddox, thank you so much. Joe is a wonderful community historian at the Bruce Watkins Cultural and Heritage Center, and I really appreciate that, Joe. Thank you.
And also an avid listener, thank you, Joe, for calling in Mr. Maddox there. He'll stop me in the street at any time and like, hey, you know what you need to do? You know what you need to do? So we always appreciate his input.
We appreciate it.
Definitely. Now that the Gym Theater is more than a century old, how do you strike the balance between preserving the historic element and bringing people of new walks of life and of a younger persuasion to the 18th and Vine District for shows and events on a more regular basis? Pat Jordan, what are your ideas about
that? Well, again, one of the things I want to make clear is that I no longer operate the theater, that it's currently operated by the American Jazz Museum, and our new location is at 20th and Vine. We open up November the 2nd with an art gallery showing.
But you do have ideas.
I definitely do. but one of the things that I need to say, however, is that we have to continue our relationships with foundations and corporate sponsors so that we can raise money in order to do this. That said, once again, we definitely need a black theater company. We have some of the most talented singers and actors, directors, producers here in Kansas City, and they don't get enough credit. They don't get enough exposure. So that's one thing. Another thing is the lectures that one of the listeners talked about, we will start at the Firehouse, the 20th and Vine Street Studio, raising the bar as it relates to discussions about the arts, both visual and performing, bringing in folks from out of town who are experts in those areas and matching those with those who are professionals here so that we can have a discussion not unlike those that would take place on your show, so that the broader community and neighborhood residents can come and actually take part in those discussions.
What about raising the bar as far as a collaboration within the black community, within the leadership of the black community, within the Jazz Museum, the Negro League Museum, the Gym Theater management, those who are in charge of developing 18th and Vine? How about raising the bar as far as collaboration?
I think that you're going to see some movement in that direction. And I think some of that is starting with the revitalization of our neighborhoods, because I think that our neighborhood residents, our neighborhood leaders are beginning to do that very thing. And that will certainly help.
Queen Bey, if you had a healthy dose of funding to program the Gym Theater, how would you go about doing it? What would you perform there? What would you put on? What shows would you put on? What events would you put on if you were in charge?
Porgy and Bess.
Porgy and Bess. That's classic.
That's right.
That's classic.
That's
what's needed.
And the kids don't know about this. A lot of kids don't even know who Charlie Parker was.
Right.
And that is very heartbreaking to me.
It's kind of sad.
Because this is Kansas City. And when I'm in Europe, they know all about us, our music, everything. I was sitting in Ingolstadt, Germany on a Thanksgiving having dinner with people that came to see my show. And they said, Queen Bey, cover your eyes. I said, oh, well, I didn't know what they were going to give me, a pig with an apple in his mouth with what? And I opened my eyes, and there was the foundation. They had a videotape of the foundation with the last of the Blue Devils. So this is how...
The Mutual Musicians Foundation you're talking about.
Yeah, all the way over in Germany. This is how they revered what we do here, who we are. And when you come home, you don't see that energy. And that energy should be here. I was asked when the resurrection of the 18th and Vine first began at a meeting, and I worked closely with Pat. And they said, Queen Bey, what should we do to keep this hype going? Because it was hyped up. I said, you have to feel 18th and Vine. You have to hear it. You have to smell it. I said, that's the only way. If you keep those components going, you got some. But my words weren't heard. And, you know. Then, like Pat said, women, more women being involved makes a big difference. We wasn't too many. I think it was just me and Pat at that time, maybe a few other young ladies. But I was there when Miss Jordan, she spearheaded this thing from the ground up, from the piece of dirt she had on that shovel, from reading all the architecture that needed to have been done on the blueprints. You know, it was just Pat. Not too many other people, but it's Miss Jordan. So I'm always out there. She's very modest. She didn't want to rock the boat, saying, well, she never did. I did it for her because I was tired of her not getting her props, and everybody else was getting credit for what she did. But it's okay. It is what it is.
You have to hear it, feel it, and smell it. Straight
That's right.
From Queen Bey herself, a local jazz and blues singer, also the ambassador of jazz for the city of Kansas City and the rest of the nation. Also with us is Pat Jordan, who spearheaded the Gems Revolution and talked with us about the Gem Theater's nonprofit profile, its renovations, and its plans for the future. Austin tweets on this conversation, 18th and Vine is great. However, the adjoining neighborhood, not so great. Improve the hood, thus creating more revenue for the area. However, true. Austin tweets this at KCURCST. A good observation from Austin. We've had good observations from Pat Jordan and Queen Bey. Thank you, ladies, for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.